Several weeks ago, I was summoned to the hospital for an emergency. The man who called said that his high school age daughter had been in a devastating car crash and was at that very moment undergoing surgery. When I arrived, before I had a chance to say anything, the man blurted out that he and his wife were lapsed Catholics. For no particular reason, several years earlier, they had drifted away from the church. But their daughter's accident stunned them, and they had no one else to turn to. So they asked if I would pray with them. We talked and prayed together for about 10 minutes before a doctor interrupted and ushered them into an office to update them on their daughter's condition. As I waited for them to come out, the person staffing the desk turned to me and introduced herself as a Holy Trinity parishioner. Then, smiling ironically, she said, "Isn't it funny how these people go for years without giving a thought to the church? But as soon as a crisis strikes, they expect us to drop everything to take care of them." I don't remember how I responded to her at the time, but I'd say that our fellow parishioner's comment is a fairly typical one. I've heard similar remarks from other Catholics. In fact, I've heard it from some priests, as if to say, they've made their bed without the church, now let them sleep in it. I don't doubt that the people who make such comments are, in most instances, caring people. They're probably good Catholics, too. But that attitude that certain individuals have forfeited their right to the services of the church because they no longer participate actively seems very insensitive to me. Many of us, after all, have children or siblings or other relatives and close friends who have left the church for a host of reasons, some frivolous and others well considered. I'd like to believe that if at some desperate moment they come seeking God's mercy, that the church would always respond to them generously and wholeheartedly. The urge to exclude some people from the church runs counter to the gospel that we just heard, where Jesus takes pains to show that while indeed there are insiders and outsiders, religious practice has little to do with which side of the line you find yourself on. The religious leaders who confronted Jesus that day were people sincerely striving to follow God's law as best they understood it. These observant Jews fasted twice a week. They paid tithes on everything they produced. They rested, prayed, and gave thanks on the Sabbath. But it's not by accident that in this morning's gospel, St. Mark describes them as outsiders. For one thing, they were standing physically outside the house where Jesus was. More importantly, however, they chose to stand apart from the women and men who placed their faith in Jesus. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out why the Jewish leaders had such difficulty in placing their faith in Jesus. Jesus seemed to make a point of offending their religious sensibilities. He launched his career by being baptized by that religious antagonist, John the Baptist. Furthermore, he claimed to hear God speak to him directly. "You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased." Jesus repeatedly violated the Sabbath by healing the sick on that sacred day of rest. He had the audacity to tell people that their sins were forgiven. He was known to fraternize with notorious sinners and tax collectors. He even recruited some of them to be his disciples. When the scribes and Pharisees challenged Jesus about his behavior, he simply answered that he had not come to call the virtuous, but rather the morally wounded of the world. For Jesus, when it came to being counted among God's friends, there was no question of merit. fasting and tithing and Sabbath keeping by themselves cannot earn God's friendship. God gives his love and mercy to whomever will receive it. Still, I wonder how many of us here this morning actually believe that bit of good news. I even wonder whether our church really believes it. If it did, I think we would be less inclined to push others outside. I do believe that there are insiders and outsiders in God's kingdom, but I don't think it's our prerogative to decide who's inside and who's outside. I hope and expect that all of us here this morning are insiders. After all, we believe in God's love for us, and we endeavor to live in conformity with God's love. But let's face it, there are some people who our church and who some of our fellow Catholics would like to push outside the circle of God's closest friends. People like that mother and father at the hospital who by their own admission are not churchgoers. Or people who have the courage to admit the failure of a hopeless marriage and who try to find love with someone else in a second marriage. Or people in relationships which don't quite fit the mold of traditional family values. Nevertheless, I think we stand on some pretty thin ice when we start excluding people from the circle of God's friends. It's God's prerogative and God's alone to decide who is welcome and who is not. I think our safest bet in the meantime is to open our hearts to anyone who asks for our prayers and to throw open the doors of our church to whomever comes seeking God's love and peace. As Pope Francis remarked, the church has sometimes locked itself up in small-minded rules. What the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of people. First, he says, heal the wounds, then talk about everything else.